In your Bible in Philippians, the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, I want to read several verses here, verse 5 through 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. Praise God. As we move into the Christmas season, we will, of course, be talking a lot about the birth of Christ and so many wonderful things that surround the story, the Christmas story. And one of the most amazing and wonderful things that we study about, especially during the Christmas season, is how He came, the amazing way that He came. In such obscurity and humility. But that was not just by chance. Jesus came the way He did so that you and I would see this living lesson, living example of how we are to live our lives. Let's read here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? Well, it's going to describe the kind of mind that we're to have. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I think we are all very much aware of the fact that whenever you are born again, when you become a Christian, then you become a citizen of another kingdom. You become a citizen of a heavenly kingdom. You are a part of a kingdom that's much different than the kingdom of this world. All over the world, there's unrest, and it was just a few months ago, I believe, that the president of Egypt was elected by a democratic election. And already, there's an uprising against him, and all this, you can see that the efforts in our world to try to secure peace and a kingdom that's going to last, well, it's just not going to be able to last. Amen. We are in a temporary world, a temporary kingdom, but as Christians, born again, we're of another kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, and we are to have a kingdom mentality. We are to have the mind of Christ. Amen. And we need to understand that in the kingdom of God, when you come to the Lord, then you are ushered into this wonderful place whereby God has called every one of us to serve Him. We have been called into kingdom service. Amen. Now, you know, the world rejects the whole idea of being a servant. Everything about our world today, especially in our country, there's this attitude that rejects everything that has to do with godliness and goodness and morality and everything that's revealed in the Word of God. Our world pretty much just rejects it. Not only rejects it, but even makes a mockery of it. And it seems that they can not, you think when they have just stooped as low as they can, then you hear something else, some new thing that people are doing today. And I was getting my hair cut, and they were playing this country and western radio station, And as the music was playing, a song came on. Of course, I don't make it a habit of listening to that kind of music. I'm not interested in it at all. But the song came on, and it started playing, and I was like shocked that this would be a song that they would sing and that this would be climbing the charts as far as popularity. And the name of the song is If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus. Let me just, I thought, well, I must be dreaming this. This can't be real that somebody would sing some. So I looked up the lyrics to If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus. Heaven knows I'd sip it nice and slow. I'd try to pick a place that ain't too crowded or gladly go wherever he wants to go. You can bet I'd order up a couple of tall ones. Tell the waitress, put them on my tab. I'd be sure to let him do the talking, careful when I got the chance to ask. How'd you turn the other cheek to save a sorry soul like me? Do you hear the prayers I send? What happens when life ends? And when you think you're coming back again, I'd tell everyone, but no one would believe it if I could have a beer with Jesus. The ridiculousness of a world that we live in today that has no concept of another kingdom that we live in and that we are a part of. You know, the disciples, you know, a disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone that's being taught by a teacher, an imitator of a teacher. And so even the disciples, they, even though they were following Jesus, they had a hard time with this whole kingdom thinking. Not like the world, not like the natural man does, the carnal man does. Even though they were following him, they didn't fully understand. But Jesus was, he was teaching them and he was training them and preparing them for the day that they would be kingdom servants. And they would serve in the kingdom of God. Those 3 years were years that a lot of disciples were offended by what he had to say. A lot of people heard what he said. They were confused. They misunderstood what he was saying. And many of them rejected him because they just couldn't understand the things of the kingdom. Thank God that there were many disciples that did get it. They did learn what Jesus was saying and what it means to be a servant in the kingdom of God. Amen. And how that it's the most blessed and the most wonderful thing whenever you find your place in the kingdom of God and you get that attitude and then that mentality that I am called of God to serve in his kingdom. Praise God. They got it. I really believe they did. As a matter of fact, in the writings in the New Testament, all these writers, especially the apostles, their writings, they would introduce themselves as a servant of Christ, a servant of the Lord. That's who that was their title. It wasn't I'm pastor or I'm apostle so and so or I'm this chief person in the house of God or in the kingdom of God. They all just said, we're just servants. We're just servants. You know, that's exactly the role that all of us are to play. Actually, our calling, pastors, their calling is to be a role of service to the kingdom of God. The very term deacon literally means to serve. And all of us as believers, when we come into the kingdom of God, then we are in that place that God has called us to be, to serve. And a lot of people don't like to hear that because they have their own agenda. They have their own plans, what they want to do with their time, what they want to do with their life. But we have all been called to serve in the kingdom of God. Amen. You say, well, how does this get started in a person's life? Well, it happens. It gets started in your life when you're born again. Amen. When you truly get born again, then the old is gone, and there's new understanding. You see things that you didn't see before. That's what the apostle's talking about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 when he describes that we are not to be conformed into the ways of this world, but instead we're to be the complete flip opposite of that. But instead we're to be not conformed to the world, but literally transformed, turned around. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind, that God renews your mind. And all those years that Jesus taught the disciples, he was training them and teaching them and giving them examples and lessons. And he was training their minds to think in a kingdom way. Instead of a carnal way, a natural way. You know, the natural mind is a big obstacle to you getting anywhere with God. It's a big obstacle to you ever being used of God. If you just think naturally, if you just try to determine your life and your decisions and the direction of your life by the natural way of thinking, that's why that we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to have the mind of Christ so that we can think in such a way, not like the world. That's why the world makes a mockery. They don't understand what the Bible has to say about Jesus. You can see from the writing of that guy in that song that he doesn't understand who Jesus is. He has no concept of who Christ is and his mission when he came into this world. He doesn't understand anything about the things of God or the kingdom of God because he's thinking naturally and carnally instead of spiritually. But when you're born again, you have this whole new capacity to hear and understand the principles of the kingdom of God that you could not before. It's like Tammy said, before she was saved, she thought that God was cruel and harsh and severe. But when the scales came off and she was able to see when she got born again, then she saw him for who he really is. A God of love, a God of mercy, a God who cares about us, a God that wants to change our life and give our life purpose and meaning. Praise God. Amen. And gives to you the whole the blessing of being a part of the kingdom of God. And what a wonderful thing that it is, serving in God's kingdom. The scripture, the text that we read to you says that we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to think like he did. How did he think? Well, when he came into this world, he humbled himself. He took upon the form of flesh. And he became a servant, the Bible says. And his ministry was to serve and to give and to love and to pour out to minister to everyone in their need. It was not self-centered. It was not selfish. It was a mentality of pouring out and giving and loving. Too often we see through the lens of our own needs and wants. We're so selfish and so self-centered, and that is the spirit of the age, that everything is about what we want and what we think is important and what we believe is right, instead of understanding what the Bible says, that we have the mind of Christ when our mind is renewed. Amen. And our thinking is renewed, is just like the disciples was, when we spend time with the Lord, when we spend time in His Word. His Word, someone was saying they like to go to sleep at night reading the Bible. His brother Daryl talking to me yesterday about this, reading the Bible, and how it just kind of clears your mind. Well, that's biblical. It really is, because we know that there's a cleansing aspect to the Word of God, the washing of the Word of God. There's a cleansing that takes place whenever we just fill our minds with the things of God, and it just is like a cleansing of all these things that are out here in the world that we hear constantly that are of this world. When we spend time with the Lord in the presence of the Lord, then our lives can be lives of service to the kingdom of God. Do you know that most of our problems and our needs that we face are the result of naturally facing our problems with a natural mind, with a carnal mind, instead of seeing it through what God is wanting to attempt and how that He's wanting to accomplish in our lives. And we just fall short of what God has for us because we have not moved into this wonderful place of kingdom mentality. Amen. When that's not true in our lives, then the church can't advance. When the church is not populated with servants, then the church can't move forward. If instead we have the mentality, serve me, do for me, minister to me, meet my needs, then the church never advances. But instead, when the church becomes a body of people, that every one of us, it may not be your natural gift to be a servant, but every one of us are called to serve no matter what your gifting might be in your life. You are called to serve. Amen. And whatever you do, understand this, then you realize that your life can have meaning and you can actually get something done in the kingdom of God if you're thinking and have the mind of Christ. I know you've heard this a lot of times, but it came to my mind when I was preparing for this service. Dr. James Francis, in a sermon in 1926 called The Real Jesus, he wrote this little part of his sermon called One Solitary Life. I know you've heard it, but let me just go through some of this here. It's, of course, talking about Jesus himself. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside of a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone. And today, he is a centerpiece of the human race and a leader of the column of Congress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of a man upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. There's a message very clear in the life of Jesus. Very clear. And that he took upon himself the form of a servant. And every one of us are called to be servants. Every one of us. No exception. No exception. We are all called to be servants. Now the world equates greatness with things like power and money and prestige. Maybe holding some particular position. Another way of saying it is the world esteems beauty, brains, and brawn. Amen. But the world isn't interested in serving. The world is not interested in serving. The world is interested in being served. That's why they want things. That's why they want position in life. They want to be great so that others can serve them. Others can minister to them and their needs. But whenever the role that we, as Christians, whenever we move into that mentality of thinking that we deserve to be served, we deserve others to minister to us all the time, then we certainly are not thinking like the kingdom of God. Amen. In the kingdom of God, you have been saved for service and not self-centeredness. Amen. When you're self-centered, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the plan of God. You're going to miss out on what God is wanting to accomplish in your life. And do you know that a lot of times God puts his children to the test? He gives you an opportunity, and many times it's a lowly opportunity to see if you will prove yourself in the least, to see if he can allow you to step up the ladder and move toward a little bit more of greater responsibility. And that's a principle in the kingdom of God, that you treat even the lowest and the least of opportunities and tasks as important and valuable. We came here in 1979. Erica was 2 years old. Mandy was born here just a few months after we got here. And we were helping here in the church. I remember one day, Brother Huff said to me, I need to meet with you a little while. And so we met back there in the office that's now my office. So we met, and I had a couple of pages of ideas and things that I wanted to see us implement here in the church. And he had another idea that wasn't my idea at all. But it was his idea, and he said, I know someone down in Corbin. Of course, Brother Huff knew a lot of someones. And this person is willing to give you a job. And I said, okay. I didn't know what was coming, but I had a job opportunity. So I just kind of took it and went on. I thought, well, this isn't really what I was hoping we were going to talk about, what we were envisioning as far as the ministry here. I thought we were going to do some other things. It turned out that my job was to work at Comprehensive Care, and I started as a bus driver for mentally retarded adults. And I can remember in some of those early mornings that my route, I would start very, very early. And I remember at first thinking, what am I doing here? I'm on a bus filled with retarded people. What am I doing here? What is going on in this place? For 2 years, I drove that bus. And I have to say that over those years, that over the years as I have reviewed that experience, that the Lord did some things in me. One thing that he did was he took me all over this county picking up people. I didn't know anything about Laurel County, but I learned roads that I didn't know that there were roads. I went up little lanes that really didn't hardly look like a road to pick up people. I'm talking from the north to the south, east, and the west. I drove that bus and picked up people all over this county. Years later, probably some months or a year or so before we came to London the second time to pastor. I don't know that I've ever expressed this before to all of you, but the Lord began to put on my mind Laurel County. And the Lord began to take me in my mind down those roads and all over those places. Constantly, I was thinking about this community and this county, and the Lord was beginning to burden my heart for Laurel County. And he used that experience from many years before to help me. I have to tell you that I learned to love those people that I drove the bus for them. A couple years later, another thing that it accomplished in me was I saw the need to continue some of my education. I enrolled at Cumberland College and continued down there. And the Lord then, after a couple of years, the Lord gave me the opportunity to step up. And so I was the bus driver, and here's kind of how the rank in that department was. The lowest was the bus driver. Next up the ladder was the assistants that worked in the center with these people. And then there was a teacher, and finally there was the director over that program, which was the adult MR handicap group. So after 2 years, and I had actually went to Corbin to work for a little while in another department, and they came to me one day and they said, the director of our program at London, the MR program, has left, and we want to know if you'll do it. So in 2 years, maybe a little over, from the time that I accepted that role, I began to see the hand of God working, and I saw and I learned some valuable lessons, some important things that I needed to learn about loving people who were not easy to love. And what pastor don't need to learn that lesson? Amen. Amen. Sometimes God asks us to take a role that we might think is demeaning or lowly or less than us. But God is looking to see how that we're going to respond to that, how that we're going to learn from that, how we can move forward in that experience and become servants of the Lord. Amen. I just pray that God would begin to speak to all of our hearts, every one of us, because quite frankly, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and our local group right here, we cannot advance until we are all servants. We can't. Until we are all accept the role and the burden of servanthood to the kingdom of God and the work of God. And by so doing, number one, a servant makes himself available to God. A servant is available at all times. Now, if your life is so filled up and so cluttered that the preacher calls and says, could you do this? And you always have to say, I'm sorry, my schedule won't allow that. Then your schedule's too full. You need to open up some space and make yourself available to God. Make yourself available for whatever God might want to do. A servant is a lot like a soldier in the kingdom of God. The Bible says he does not entangle himself in the affairs of this life, but instead he makes himself available. Why? Because he wants to please God. Amen. The servant makes himself available. Amen. And willing to be used of the Lord. Now, if it's in a family, if it's in a church, if it's on the job, the leaders immediately learn who the servants are. Because the servants are the willing people. The servants are the ones that are already doing a lot, and when you ask them to do something else, they say yes. Right? The servants are the ones that are the ones that usually are the most worn out. Because they're so busy doing so many things. Now for them, it comes natural to them because they have this wonderful gift of God to be servants. But for the rest of us, it's a challenge to accept the call of servanthood. You have to set aside time for God. You have to make yourself available to God. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. But if you want him to use you, then give God time and give God an opportunity and make yourself available to him. Servants make themselves available. Number two, servants pay attention to needs that are around us. They take notice that there are needs. I've mentioned this before, but there can be like a piece of white paper, a little white speck of paper on this purple carpet. And I can see it a long way off. I see it, and it drives me crazy until it gets picked up. But I've noticed people, you know, just walk right by it, don't bother. Because they have assigned certain responsibilities. That's somebody else's job. So I walk past the paper and somebody else who... But a servant mentality, a servant is always looking for how that they can help, how that they can minister, how that they can find an opportunity to do something for God. Amen. They pay attention to needs and they jump to the opportunity to help somebody, to give to someone, to minister to them, to kind of, you know, whatever they have to do to lift the load for them. They're always attentive to needs. Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. To be sensitive, to be always spontaneous, to be always ready to be used of the Lord to do something for God. That's what we're called to be. Servants. Servants in the kingdom. And by the way, this is one of the ways that you can find the greatest joy in your life. Serving God in your place. John Wesley said, do all the good you can in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. He had it down, didn't he? Do good to all men. But then there's a special emphasis there, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Be a servant. Pay attention to people's needs. And if you can meet the need, you go help them. You go encourage them. Even if it's just a kind word. Even if it's just a small thing that you might do to minister to them, do it. Servants, number three, they do their best with what they have. They just do the best they can. And they don't offer excuses. They don't say, well, one of these days I'll get that done. Or I'll help that person when it's convenient and when the time is right. I'll get around to it. I'll finally get this taken care of. But a real servant is willing to get busy for God, and he's willing to do the best that he can. He doesn't think that everything has to be perfect to get it done. Ecclesiastes 11:4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You'll never get anything done if you're waiting for everything just to be perfect before you do it. You'll never get it done. The best way to get something done is just start. Just start doing it. Just move in that direction. And especially if it's some opportunity in the work of God, in the kingdom of God, get busy and do something for the Lord. Really, I think that as the church, we all need to understand that the church is not the preacher. The church is not just a few. The church is, of course, belongs to Him, but we are all extensions of Jesus Christ. So the church belongs to us. And so we all just, we have to take ownership. We all have to realize the responsibility. If this thing goes forward, I'm going to have to help it happen. If this work of God experiences revival, I'm going to have to put my shoulder to the wheel. I'm going to have to pray, and I'm going to have to work. In any area of the church where you say, boy, I wish things would get better or do better, I think it's interesting when I hear people talk about their church and they refer to them as they. I wish they would do that. I wish they would do it. Let me just remind you, you are they. You're part of the they. You're one of the they. If it's going to get done, you're going to have to help get it done. Amen. And when we're all ministers in the kingdom of God, all of us are serving, all of us are pulling together, praying together, working together, then God can begin to move in wonderful and mighty ways. Don't look for it to be the perfect situation before you say, okay, now it's all lined up perfectly. It fits my schedule. I feel good, and everything is just perfect. The weather's great. I think this might be the day. No, that day will never get here when everything is perfect. Just get busy. Number four, a servant puts his heart into it. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We all have an appointment with death, and we all are going to slip from this world into eternity. We have a certain span of time and a certain number of years that God has allotted to each of our lives. Some live longer than others. We all have our time in this world. The older we get, the more we see opportunity slipping through our fingers. The older we get, we see that there are some things that possibly we might not be able to ever do or get done. When is the best time to be used of God? When is the best time to be a servant of the Lord? Today. Right now. Today. And put your heart into it. Put your heart into it. Whatever you're doing, whatever your task, whatever your calling, whatever your ministry in the kingdom of God, put your heart into it. And even if it's a lowly task, maybe not all that pleasant of a task, do it with joy, do it with your heart, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. Just think about Jesus who came into this world. He took upon himself the form of a servant. That was his life, serving and giving and ministering. I know we see Jesus doing these powerful miracles and these wonderful things, but Jesus' life and his ministry also included things like washing the saints' feet, welcoming the little children to come and sit on his lap, ministering to people in their need, even preparing food, even ministering to lepers, on and on the list that Jesus did in his ministry. It wasn't all about great sermons. It wasn't all about mighty miracles. Much of it had to do with serving, giving, ministering to people in their need. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul, he was great, probably the greatest preacher that ever lived. But you'll find him at shipwreck time. He's carrying wood. You see him, you know, taking on responsibilities of as a servant. As a matter of fact, he chose just for the purpose of his ministry and as an example in his ministry that he would work as a tent maker to be able to see the things accomplished that he wanted to see for the kingdom of God. You know, the Lord, He gives to all of us great opportunities to be used of the Lord, and much of the time it starts off as a small task, sometimes as a lowly task, because He wants to prove us to see if we're willing to be servants. Amen. I knew nobody would be shouting too much about this today. I'm just telling you, I really believe with all of my heart that we We get stuck on high center as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because our thinking is, I'm going to church to get something. I'm going to church to be ministered to. I'm going to church to see what I might be able to get out of this instead of us all rallying together and recognizing we got to serve. We got to get behind this thing. We got to pray. We have to work. We have to minister. We have to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the church advances. Then the work of the Lord can become what it needs to be. Amen. One more thing. The servant has to be faithful. The servant has to be faithful. That just means he can be counted on. You don't have to worry about that person. You don't have to call them a couple of times, send them text messages and reminders and say, you remember this, do this. No. Faithful person remembers. He's right there. He accomplishes his task. He does it because he is, that's a part of who he is. He is faithful to God and faithful to his duty and responsibility. Amen. Matthew 25 and 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words we want to hear, isn't it? One of these days, very soon, when we stand before the Lord, we want to hear him say, well done, you have done the right thing and you have been faithful in your place of duty. God is looking for servants. Any takers? Any willing hearts? Anybody willing to say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do it. I'll obey your voice and I'll do what you want me to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised that you'll build your church. And I know, Lord, that we don't need greatness from the perspective and the ways of this, the thinking of this world. But, Lord, we just need to, every one of us, accept our role as servants in the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, every man and woman here, every young person, all of us finding our place, finding that calling and that work that we can do, and we are willing to do it, and we do it with all of our heart. And we're faithful in that responsibility. Hallelujah. Lord, raise up a generation who want to serve and want to minister and want to give. Change our minds, Lord, from natural thinkers and carnal thinkers. Cause us, Lord, to be kingdom thinkers, to be renewed in our minds, to understand, Lord, how that you want to use us. In Jesus' name, amen.